If the Senate will please come back to order. The first item of business is messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, February 23, 2016, third reading passed amended. All following bills were passed amended. Mr. President, House Bill number 11, Energy Producing States Coalition Extension, Eyes 60. House Bill number 17, Shed Antlers and Horns, Eyes 41, Noes 19. House Bill 39, Enhanced Speeding Fines Amendments, Ayes 56, Noes 4. House Bill 47, Refugee Resettlement Plan Accountability, Ayes 51, Noes 9. House Bill number 50, Appropriation for the Legislature, Ayes 53, Noes 7. House Bill number 57, Upper Payment Limit Program, Private Hospital, Ayes 48, Noes 12. House Bill number 58, Human Trafficking Forfeiture of Property, Ayes 60. House Bill number 71, Governmental Claims Circuit Court, Ayes 60. House Bill number 74, Upper Payment Limit Program, Public Nursing Homes, Ayes 46, Noes 14. House Bill number 76, Designated Caregiver, Ayes 60. House Bill number 80, Community College Budget Request Recalibration, Ayes 60. House Bill number 82, Termination of Employment, Wages, Time Limits, Ayes 60. House Bill number 97, Wolf Depredation Compensation, Ayes 60. House Bill number 104, Food Freedom Cooked Meat Products, Ayes 60. House Bill number 105, ABLE Act, Ayes 59, Noes 1. House Bill number 118, Foster Care and Permanency Additional Requirements, Ayes 51, Noes 9. House Bill number 138, Child Health Insurance Program Amendments, Ayes 60. House Bill number 140, Attorneys at Law Amendments, Ayes 57, Noes 3. The following bills are third reading passed. House Bill number 20, State Public Purpose Investments Reporting, Ayes 60. House Bill number 21, State Public Purpose Investments Revisions, Ayes 59, Noes 1. House Bill number 27, Legislative Oversight, Ayes 60. House Bill number 29, Revisers Bill, Ayes 60. House Bill number 30, Obsolete Laws, Ayes 58, Noes 2. House Bill number 43, Concealed Weapons Military Applicant, Ayes 60. House Bill number 48, State Spending and Revenues Public Reports, Ayes 60. House Bill number 54, Treasury Offset Program Statutory Reference Amendments, Ayes 60. House Bill number 62, Wyoming Money Transmitter Act, Digital Currency Amendments, Ayes 53, Noes 7. House Bill number 63, Healthcare Facility Receivership Act, Ayes 54, Noes 6. House Bill number 75, Professional Licensure Boards, Ayes 60. House Bill number 77, Electronic Assessment Forms, Ayes 60. House Bill number 81, Drug Court Surcharge, Ayes 60. House Bill number 84, Catering Permits, Ayes 59, Noes 1. House Bill number 85, Medical Education Funding, Ayes 60. House Bill number 88, ETS Zero-Based Budget Sunset, Ayes 39, Noes 21. House Bill number 95, Abandoned Gift Certificates and Value Cards Sunset Repeal, Ayes 60. House Bill number 101, Approved Depositories for Public Funds, ayes 60. House Bill number 107, Uniform Real Property Electronic Recording Act, ayes 59, noes 1. House Bill number 108, Foreign LLC Operation in Wyoming, ayes 60. House Bill number 113, Governmental Immunity Waiver for Healthcare Facilities, ayes 60. House Bill number 114, Public Assistance Eligibility, ayes 50, noes 10. House Bill number 117, Pesticide Applicator Certification Program Funding, ayes 55, noes 5. House Bill number 130, Juvenile Detention Facility Definition, ayes 60. Signed, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
We're at that order of business of bills on first reading. Folks, our first priority is to get the interim work out on reading and bills. So, but if the recognizing that the engrossing of the bills, putting the changes in, giving us expectably our green or blue copies, depending on which house you are, doesn't take place until the final bills get passed out of the house. So if you have interim bills that had amendments on the other side, we may not have the jackets yet because they have to, the changes have to be engrossed. So we have a whole bunch of House bills read in today, and some key bills still won't have flowed to us on jackets. This is what we have to work with. So first reading of the bills, House bills on first reading. House Bill 20, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 20, State Public Purpose Investments Reporting, sponsored by Management Audit. An act, passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill 20 is assigned to committee number 2. House Bill number 21, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 21, State Public Purpose Investments Revisions, sponsored by the Management Audit Committee. Passed the House, ayes 59, no 1.
House Bill number 21 is assigned to committee number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 27, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 27, Legislative Oversight, sponsored by the Management Council. Passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill number 27 is assigned to committee number 12, Rules. House Bill 29, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 29, Revisers Bill, passed the Senate, ayes 60. Sponsored by the Management Council.
House Bill.
House Bill. Passed the House. Thank you.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. House Bill 29 is assigned to committee number 12, Rules. House Bill 30, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 30, Obsolete Laws, sponsored by the Management Council, passed the House, ayes 58, noes 2.
House Bill number 30 is assigned to committee number 12, Rules. House Bill number 51, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 51, Local Government Distribution, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, passed the House, ayes 57, noes 2, excused 1.
House Bill number 51 is assigned number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 54, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 54, Treasury Offset Program Statutory Reference Amendment, sponsored by the Labor Committee, passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill number 54 is assigned to Committee number 10, Labor. House Bill 63, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 63, Healthcare Facility Receivership Act, sponsored by the Labor Committee, passed the House, ayes 54, noes 6.
House Bill number 63 is assigned to Committee number 10, Labor. House Bill number 75, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 75, Professional Licensure Board, sponsored by the Management Audit Committee, passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill number 75 is assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 85, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 85, Medical Education Funding, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee, passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill 85, assigned to Committee number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 88, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 88, ETS Zero-Based Budget Sunset, sponsored by Representative Stubson, passed the House, ayes 39, noes 21.
House Bill number 88 is signed to Committee number 2, Appropriations. House Bill 107, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 107, Uniform Real Property Electronic Recording Act, sponsored by Representative Brown, passed the House, ayes 59, no 1.
House Bill 107 is assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 108, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 108, Foreign LLC Operation in Wyoming, sponsored by Representative Brown, passed the House, ayes 60.
House Bill 108, assigned to Committee number 7, Corporations. We have some standing committee reports.
February 23, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 52 engrossed, School Facilities Appropriations 3, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wasserberger, Senator Ross, Chairman. February 23, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 28, engrossed, Cease and Transfer Program Local Government Funding, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wasserberger, Senator Ross, Chairman. February 23, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 46, engrossed, Investment of Workers' Compensation Account, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wasserberger, Senator Ross, Chairman. February 23, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 7, Corporations, to whom was referred House Bill 53, engrossed, Special Districts Task Force, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas. No, Senator Scott. Senator Case, Chairman. February 23, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 2, Engrossed Electric Vehicle Decal, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Driscoll, Kinski, Landon, and Peterson. Senator Peterson, Chairman.
Do we have any further messages? Are we ready for general file? Senator Carr, would you make a re-referral on House Bill 53? What's the name? Do you know the title of the bill? Thank you. Senator, hold on. Senator Meyer.
Yeah, Mr. President, I would request that House Bill 53, Special District Task Force, be re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Without objects, House Bill 53 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Do we have any? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we're at that order of business of bills on general file.
Thank you, Mr. President. And, Mr. President, before I move into Committee of the Whole, members of the Senate, the intention is to work those five bills on general file, and then we'll get into the budget bill, and the JC Chairman will go through the difference between us and the House. And with that, Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself and the Committee of the Whole discuss bills on general file.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That motion has been adopted. Senator Hastert.
Do we have this? Committee of the Whole will come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 31. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 31, Uniform Securities Act, an act relating to the Uniform Securities Act, sponsored by the Corporations Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? No one wants this one?
Time out.
Time out. Time out called. It's a 30-second timeout. TV timeout. Maybe during the timeout, Senator Peterson could sing. Well, just a minute, hang on.
Have to lay it back in appropriate time. We'll ask for a re-referral on this from Mr. Chairman.
Without objection. Yeah, without objection, Senate file 31 is House Bill 31 is laid back. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 32. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 32, Insurance Regulation Parity, an act relating to insurance regulation, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, was referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Case, Hicks, Meyer, Pappas, and Scott. Senator Case, Chairman.
Are you doing this one?
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I move that the committee whole rise and report that it do so with a do pass motion on House Bill 32, Insurance Regulation Parity. And I'll refer to Senator from Trona County.
Senator Meyer, there's a standing committee amendment. Did you want that read in?
Yes, I would like that read in, and I will move the standing committee amendment, and the good senator from Shawnee County will explain both the bill and the amendment.
House Bill 32, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 5.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, if it hasn't already been done, I'll move the amendment. Mr. Chairman, this is the Insurance Regulation Parity Act. There was a technical error made in the title. They said exclusion when they should have said inclusion. The amendment fixes that, gets the language right. It is just a technical error. We aren't changing anything, and the House didn't change anything in what was done. It's just a technical correction. I urge adoption of the amendment.
Any discussion on the amendment? Question being called. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 32, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment passes. Back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, this bill is a series of what amounts to technical corrections. A lot of it is items where we passed one of the NAIC model acts in terms of their financial regulations. The NAIC, Mr. Chairman, has been very successful in its financial regulation of insurance companies. In the Great Recession a few years ago, we really didn't lose any major insurance companies. We lost some insurance holding companies that were regulated by the feds, not the states. But the state ones were in pretty good shape because the NAIC has done such a good job. And what's happened is that certain of our kinds of insurance companies, they have their special section in Title 26, and we didn't always catch the things that applied these NAIC regulations to those companies. That's what a majority of it is. There are some things where we corrected something in the main insurance code and then didn't catch that it applied to the particularly the HMO statute, so we're catching up on that. Let me just show you some examples. For instance, if you look on page 2, this is in 2634, which is the HMO statutes. We're applying the Holding Company Act on line 10 to those people. We're applying applicable provisions to the down here on item C to make sure that those are applied to the Holding Company Act. Mr. Chairman, you might think some of these were somewhat academic. The only HMO we've had in the state is currently in liquidation due to Obamacare. They managed to underestimate the complexity of dealing with the federal government in this area. They didn't get a major payment that was promised, and the combination of those things did them in, and they're being liquidated. So I don't know how long it'll take. 6 to 12 months, we will no longer have any HMOs in the state. They aren't enrolling any new members. They are being liquidated. But in the hopes that we eventually get another one sometime, we do need to bring them up to date, and that's what's going on there. On page 3, this is one that is really a correction for inflation. If you look on line 9 through 17, there was a requirement that insurance company can't make a disbursement of more than $25 without having a voucher in the records for it. We said that in the interim committee, we said that's unreasonably low. We went to a higher figure, and then it was discovered that the Internal Revenue Service requires these. If you want to take a tax deduction, you ought to have this kind of documentation for anything over $75, and it was corrected over there to that. But that simplifies life a bit. Then the next section is we've got fraternal benefit societies. We do have 14 of those, none of them domestic, but there are 14 of those that do business in this state. And they're just what they sound like, a number of the standard fraternal organizations that we've got have insurances for their members. That's there. We're applying a piece on page 4, starting at line 4, we're applying a piece of the hazardous condition law, which is an NAIC requirement for our accreditation, to these fraternal benefits. And then there's some more corrections with regard to the HMOs. And, Mr. Chairman, that's basically what this bill is. I don't think there's anything particularly controversial, but I would be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman, that any member might have.
Any further discussions on House Bill 32? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to go back to a couple of statements that the sponsors said about the liquidation of the one insurance company in the state of Wyoming. And my understanding of how that transpired, the causes and the details of it were entirely different from the good chairman of the Department of Labor, the Labor Health Committee. And I wanted to know if anything in this was contingent upon that interpretation of the order of events, or if that was strictly a narrative commentary on the way things unfolded, and that wasn't central to this legislation. Because if that interpretation was central to what we're drafting here for legislation, I'd like to understand it a lot better and understand if that's something that we should try and address and clarify those discrepancies in the factual situation behind that liquidation.
Any further discussion? Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, no. The liquidation worked just fine there. The statutes we had were adequate. They weren't yet up to the NAIC standards in a few instances, but there were no problems because basically the management knew what had happened and knew the kind of trouble they were in, was quite cooperative. And frankly, Mr. Chairman, our insurance commissioner handled that whole situation very well. What you were hearing, you know, I was trying to explain why we lost our one HMO that we had, so this will simply clear the decks for anything new. There is an effective date provision that is in the future in one of these things, because if it was immediate, it could screw up the liquidation process, was the testimony. And what you're hearing is my interpretation, Mr. Chairman, of why they went under, the principal reasons. There were some other complexities involved, but I think the summary that they didn't get that big payment that they were expecting, that they should have gotten for reasons in Washington, they didn't get it, and they did underestimate the complexity of dealing with the feds and getting that thing right. And that combination of things, in my judgment, were the principal reasons they went under.
Any further discussion on House Bill 32? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate that explanation. I spent a few hours with the insurance commissioner investigating that, and my understanding was that payment that they overestimated the calculation of because they didn't properly understand the nuances of the federal statutes would have only changed the timeline based on my understanding versus the actual outcome. But from what I understand with this legislation, it's fine either way. The liquidation will proceed naturally. So I don't think we have any concerns here, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Seeing none. All those, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Meyer's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 32, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 32 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 28. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 28, Cease and Transfer Program Local Government Funding, an act relating to the Municipal Solid Waste Facilities Cease and Transfer Program, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, was referred to Committee number 9, Minerals, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Coe, Cooper, Rothfuss, Von Flatern. No, Senator Anderson. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wasserberger. Senator Ross, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 28, cease and transfer program, local government funding. And there is an amendment. Could I have that amendment read in at this time?
Reading clerk will read in the standing committee amendment.
House Bill number 28, standing committee amendment number 1, to engrossed copy, corrected copy, page 1, line 4.
Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move standing committee number 1 amendment to House Bill 28. And I'll explain the bill and the amendment as I go forward. In the amendment, it says page 1, line 4, and delete requirements, insert criteria. So you get on page, it says creating additional criteria for grants and loans above 75% of the total project cost as specified. Then you go back to the amendment on page 1, line 5. They needed a technical correction, insert the digital 75% in there. And then on page 1, line 6, after specified, delete balance of line, then 1, 7 through 8, delete. And then page 1, 9, delete cease and transfer program. And then you go page 1, line 15, delete the new subsections H and J and insert a new subsection H. And I'll explain that on the third page, the rest of the amendment. You go down to line 13. And we deleted the semicolon, put a period in there. And then page 3, lines 15 through 22, you just delete. And then page, which takes out the reason that you did the other stuff above. And then we change the enacting date to be immediately effective. And I'll explain that to Mr. Chairman. But if we could vote on the amendment, we'll dispense with that.
Any further discussion on the amendment? We're on the amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor... Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. A little more discussion on why you're eliminating on page 3, 15 through 22. Is this something that came in? I haven't looked at the original bill. This was the engrossed that they added in the House, that they've added to the original bill, and that's why you wanted to take it out to get back to the original bill. Could we talk about that?
Senator Von Flatter.
Mr. Chairman, lines 15 and 16 were eliminated because... there are duplication of little I above that where it says any other funds, if you can find any other funds. And then for some reason down on line 3 it says if they're eligible for any additional state or federal grants, and that's kind of stated in little I above. So we got rid of it. So if you're eligible for federal grants or other state funding sources, you still can do it under little I above, has any additional funding sources. So that's why we limited the duplication there. J that we eliminated on page 3 just didn't make any sense even to the department because it starts out saying the total amounts awarded for grants, and then you go down to line 21, it says grants or loans. So we couldn't figure out if they were saying you can only get, if there's $1 million left, you could not get more than 75%, and no one project could get more than that $750,000 of that $1 million, or it just didn't make any sense. And the department looked at us and said, this doesn't make any sense either, and maybe it does to you and we need to put it back in, but we couldn't figure it out, and so we just said, strike the language, and it didn't seem to affect any part of the bill.
Senator Peabout.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So is it for grants or is it for loans?
What this does, in if I can explain, so thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I can explain what this bill does without trespassing out of the amendment, this bill allows up to 100% of, you can finance 100% of the project cost through grants and loans, but not more than 75% of that can be a grant. And the other 25%, should you qualify under those couple, little I and double I there, if you qualify for those reasons, you can actually, SLIB can loan you the other 25%, put it into a, you know, a payment schedule based on the 100%. If you don't qualify under those, then you got to do no more than 75% in grants, find your other non-state funding.
Senator Peabout.
So, Mr. Chairman, speaking on the standing committee amendment, I think it makes sense. What you're really saying is, which you tie this in to clean the bill up for those smaller areas that have no access to funds to do what they need to do. This is a way to help them out.
Exactly.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And to further clarify the majority floor's question about little J there, as you'll recall, when we originally drafted and put together this program, we created two separate accounts. One of them is a loan account. One of them is a grant account. This amendment only makes sense if we only had one account. If we had one account, then it would be reasonable to say 75% shall be spent on grants, 25% on loans, not more than that. All makes sense. When you have two separate accounts and we appropriate intentionally into one account or the other, this 75% is meaningless because the appropriation dictates the available expenditures based on whether you want loans or grants. And I think there might have been confusion in the House and perhaps a failure to remember that we had two different accounts, so you don't need to draw that barrier. That was our potential interpretation of what it might have been.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Question being called for on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Von Flattern's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 28, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment has passed. We're back on the bill. Senator Von Flattern.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Basically, the bill does what I explained, that it allows you to get up to 100% through loans, if you qualify, through loans and grants and finance the whole project, not just get stuck at the 75% for those small towns that need to institute this cease and transfer and build a transfer station and cease using their landfills. This is a way for them to get that last 25% that they could never raise themselves. So that's what the bill does. I ask a call for the question if no questions.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Did you have any testimony? You know how many projects are out there are like that to give us an idea of the impact, or that we know there's one or there are more? It would help me out a little bit.
Senator Meyer.
Chairman, it's unclear to me whether the SLIP funds are the regular standard $33.4 million they get every biennium or it's a special fund.
Senator Von Flattern.
Quick question on the landfill fund. It comes out of landfill funds that we've been replenishing every year. It doesn't come out of any other DEQ and or other funds. It's in that landfill account, which has about $17 million new dollars plus a couple million left over should we enact the budget as it is. And then the question over here about, what was the original? Oh, things that have been done. Right now we have 14 projects have been funded, 8 transfer stations, and 6 landfill closures. The amounts of funds granted or loaned by the state SLIB for projects total $20,466,617, with $17 million being allocated in grants and $2.8 million being allocated in loans. We've provided a total of $26.9 million in funding for the program implementations. $21,009,000 for grants and almost $6 million for loans. So that's what's been done so far. And then that prior bill, if I can speak, that had the priority list on it would tell you what gets funded next, what gets funded after that. So there's about $17 million to be funded. So you can add that list up and see how far down you get. Everything gets funded. Unless somebody's shovel ready and somebody doesn't apply because they're not quite ready through engineering, they may get bumped down, but they'll fully fund each project until that money runs out.
Any further discussion? Are you ready? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Fallon-Flannery's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 28, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 28 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 2. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill number 2, Electric Vehicle Decal, an act relating to motor vehicles, sponsored by the Revenue Committee. It was referred to Committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Case, Driscoll, Kinski, Landon, and Peterson. Senator Peterson, Chairman.
You heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Senator Peterson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that it do so with a do pass on House Bill 2. There are no standing committee amendments. And for further explanation on this good little bill, I would turn the time over to our good senator from Natrona County.
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I want to thank Senator Frankie for his help in moving the bill. This little bill comes over from the other side, but before they got it, it was shined up and ready for the dance by your Joint Revenue Interim Committee, fellow senators. This was an issue that came to us a couple of years ago, a concern on the part of our county clerks out there regarding electric vehicles, electric passenger cars. Because of the way our statutes read, they would buy a decal, and that was essentially a one-timer. And it really, from the clerk's offices, it really wasn't their intent that would not be an annual fee. So that's what this does. If you go to page 2, it makes it very clear that these decals are to be purchased each and every year. Over on the other side, they did clarify. They cleaned up on line 2 and inserted the language registered and licensed. And the reason for that was to avoid catching some of the golf cars that are out there. There are certain little pieces of communities and areas around golf courses where these golf carts, we didn't want to catch that. 3917301A, triple X VII, that does not include hybrid cars, by the way. This is purely just the electric plug-in cars. The decal that will be purchased each and every year would appear on the right upper side of your vehicle licensure, license plates, rather, Mr. Chairman, and that's essentially the bill. It just allows for us to collect a little bit from those electric cars to help pay for the roads and bridges out there. It would stand for any question. Otherwise, would urge support of the bill. Thanks.
Mike, any further discussion on House Bill 2? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Peterson, a.k.a. Frankie, motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 2, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, House Bill 2 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 52. Reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 52, School Facilities Appropriations 3, an act relating to school facility project, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee. It was referred To Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which returned a committee recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wasserberger. Senator Ross, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rise and report, it do so with a do pass recommendation on House Bill 52. There is a standing committee amendment that I'd ask be read in at this time.
Reading clerk will read it in.
House Bill 52, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, to engrossed copy, page 1, line 5.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move the standing committee amendment, and for an explanation of the bill and the amendment, I yield to Senator Wasserberger.
Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to walk you through House Bill 52. As this is actually started the Saturday before the session, the Joint Appropriations Committee met. The background on that, in October, the Select Committee on School Facilities met in Casper. They had about $410 million in requests. And they cut that to $206 million in requests. And then the Craig Report came out later that week. When the governor put together his budget, he stepped in and cut that to one-year funding at $86 million. And then that issue came to the Joint Appropriations Committee. Essentially what the Joint Appropriations Committee did after discussions with chairman of the Select Committee on School Facilities in both the House and the Senate was that we decided to cut school safety dollars, which was about $13 million, and put that all towards existing projects that were listed on the priority sheet. And then from that, we appropriated $80 million essentially from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve Account, or LISRA, or the Rainy Day Fund. And if I can quickly walk you through this bill, we can go to page 4. Everything else is existing language, but on page 4, we spend $4.9 million on existing projects. You can see $536,000 for Campbell 1, Teton 1 at $2.7 million, Albany 1 at a little under $500,000, Laramie Number 1 Junior High, $1.2 million, and Park Number 6, $62,000 for their project. So that takes us then to page 6, where we continue to finish actually the outdoor physical education arena at what is going to be Thunder Basin High School in Gillette for $3.8 million, Laramie Number 1 for $2.2 million, Bighorn 4 for $2.1 million. Bighorn Number 3 receives two modular leases, and then Carbon Number 1 Elementary School for $650,000. Sweetwater Number 2 Middle School for $200,000, and then three modulars for Converse Number 1, which is Douglas. As we continue to move through the bill, we get over to page 8. We spend almost $6.77 million on line 7 for the construction of an elementary school in Sweetwater County School District Number 2. Is hereby reappropriated for the purpose of addressing the elementary school capacity issues. Then we can move to page 9, where we purchase some land acquisitions for $650,000. And then on page 9, line 12, for unanticipated costs associated with the design and construction of projects funded under this section, up to $459,000 for that. And then we move to the next page, page 10, where we essentially said that the districts could expend up to 10% of their major maintenance money for safety and security in their building. Page 10, line 12, actually line 14, We take care of the charter school leases up to $400,000. And then finally on page 11, section 2, we appropriate the $80 million from the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account. And then we stated that that money would be appropriated on July 1st through July 1st of 2017 and ending June 30th, 2018. And essentially we direct the School Facilities Commission or Department and actually the Select Committee on School Facilities to prioritize those and come back with that list at a later date. And then, Mr. Chairman, we would go to the Standing Committee Amendment, which is the best amendment I've ever seen the Chairman of Joint Appropriations do, and it is a technical amendment which changes the effective date. I would move that amendment at this time.
Question on amendment.
Question being called for on the amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none on the amendment. All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion to adopt Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate House Bill 52, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Amendment Number 1, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 is passed. Back on the bill. Any questions on the bill? Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill, I do have a personal and private interest, line 9, page 5, and so I just want to declare that I will be, pursuant to 913-106, will be not voting, I'll declare a conflict.
Any further discussion? Senator Peterson.
Mr. Chairman, just got a question on page 6. It's talking about these modular leases. Bighorn 3. I'm not familiar with the Converse 1. The Bighorn 3, that's a, I'm guessing that's an elementary school, but that's a pretty brand new elementary school. That's probably about 6, maybe 7 years old. And I'm wondering if the discussion was had on perhaps our square footage per student on these new schools might be a little underestimated for having to reconstruct and rent modulars out and add on to these newer schools. That's somewhat of a concern to me.
Any further discussion? Senator Bebout.
Yeah.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, a couple of questions. The first one is when we talk about on page 4, line 15, design projects, we all know that we're going to have a lot less money for school CapCon, and I want to be sure and understand, you know, we're going to move these forward even though we may not have the money to fund them, that it's the right decision to make. And then also, you already have schools on the list ready to go. How these will be affected to that other list that's already involved of schools that we will be building. The next thing I want to ask Mr. Chairman is on the Sweetwater County, where we're going to reappropriate the purpose of elementary school capacities identified by the district and approved by the director. There's $6.7 million there. What's going on there? We don't like the elementary school we're going to do. We're going to change and come back with some ideas on another one. They're going to present it to us. Could we have a little more discussion about that one?
Senator Landon.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just to help out the senator from Appropriations on answering a couple of these, To the senator from North Bighorn, the Bighorn leases up there, that's exactly true. Those modulars are not very old, but they are leased property. And so each time that we run one of these budget bills on school CapCon, those are included in there. Regarding the size of these schools, that's been the topic of conversation for the past 2 or 3 years on that select committee and even on into joint education, fellow senators. We have modified the way we project out and allowed for 5 years beyond the completion date now for some of these schools. It's never an exact science. You know, you're kind of at the mercy of Mother Nature in some of these circumstances, but certainly when you date back to when we built the school that the senator was referring to, I don't think we were projecting out quite that far. And it has gotten us into some struggles. And sometimes it's not just so easy, Mr. Chairman, to build out on a wing, for example, because you have common spaces in those schools. And so, you know, we wrestle with the square footage in those common areas. It's not so easy to just add four classrooms onto a building. It's a little bit bigger issue than that. So for the time being, you just you have to pony up and take care of the modulars that are needed, and hopefully come back in and address some of the issues a little bit later when that comes back up. Regarding the Sweetwater issue, Senator, that was an opportunity created by the facilities folks in that district to do something a little bit different in their middle school down there. I don't have all the details of exactly how they're going to do this, but it's going to save us money to renovate that property, utilize it a little bit differently in how they set up their junior high arrangement. I believe that they're going to knock one class out of there, and it's going to eliminate the need for that elementary school, and so that's actually going to save us some money. I can get a little bit better detail on that project for you going into second reading. I hope that covers all the questions up to this point, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Mr. Minority Floor Leader, would you come up here? Senator Wasserberger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the one thing that we haven't talked about, and I think that everybody should be aware of, is that we still have about testimony at the JAC was that there is still $490 million worth of construction out there going on right now. So we've got a lot of construction, a lot of jobs dependent upon that construction. And then the $80 million will kick in the summer of 2017. So none of those projects were affected. They're moving forward.
Thank you, Senator Wasserberger. Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the Sweetwater County, Sweetwater 2, that one there, with some consultation in the district, they have, what they're doing is they're reconstructing their grades. And they're moving, instead of having the kids move several different times, they have, through a study, have found that they're reducing the number of times the kids have to move. So instead of going to an elementary and then to a kind of a middle school, then to middle school and then high school, they're going to a configuration of moving the, I think it's K through 5, and then moving the, and then combining the kind of the middle schools into one building. And in doing that, they found that they're going to move the central office over to another building. And by doing that, they have the money that we've already allocated to them for this project, and that in fact that we were going to, they're on the list to get $4 billion more dollars, and they in the reconstruction of moving the administration over to the other building and reconfiguring, so allowing for those other grades, they were able to say we don't need. Take $4 million off the list, and just give us $200,000. We can do it with the money we have. Just need $200,000 additional. So that's kind of what they're doing in that district. They're just reconstructing the grade levels, moving administration, using existing money, saving us, taking $4 million off the list, and for a $200,000 exchange.
Thank you, Senator Hastert. Additional discussion, Senator Ross.
Just to point out just a couple things here, folks. Because you got different bills moving through, it sometimes gets a little bit complicated. So what JAC did, in essence, globally, was you had X amount of dollars. I think it's about $160 million, give or take, of coal lease bonus money. In the budget bill, we allocated $147.9 million to major maintenance, because we've learned over the years, having been there, if you've been there in the 90s and we didn't take care of any major maintenance, it created a huge problem. So of that money, we allocated $147 million to almost $148 million to major maintenance. in the department. And then in this bill, what you have is about $18.4 million remaining that we're utilizing for projects that are already ongoing and need to be completed or moved forward. And so that's kind of what happens in this bill. And so I just wanted you to know how this all interrelates.
Thank you, Senator Ross. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the chairman of Joint Appropriations of our Appropriations Committee giving you that explanation. I did, and that kind of took care of what I was going to do with regard to the question about design, and that is for ongoing projects. Harkens back to what the senator from Campbell County pointed out, which is there's quite a bit of money still in the pipeline out there, Mr. Chairman, up to $490 million. I think about $330 million of that has been contracted and let out, but there's still some that remaining to be bid. So this really represents projects that are out there and ongoing for the most part. I'd be glad to answer any other questions if I can. And get into any other detail, bring answers to those questions back on second reading if we don't have the answers today. Thank you.
Senator Ross.
Yes, just one further point of clarification that was missed, and that is the reason you have a green copy is that the original bill had a Section 2 in it, which was a task force to restudy the list. There was concern that the list, nobody had a lot of confidence in it, and so Section 2 had this created a whole other task force. The thinking is from the House, and then as we dealt with it in committee today, was that, you know, you have your select committee, you got the department, and that they should be able to do this on their own without having to come back with a whole new big task force. So I just wanted you to know about that.
Any further discussion? Senator Von Flanner.
Mr. Chairman, this is more of a question. Is when we look up the fiscal note on the bill, I think it still has the old, it has the task force, the fiscal note I'm taking off. So when would we ever know, other than it's not in the bill, it's Section 2 has been removed, when would we ever know that this doesn't appropriate that kind of money?
Further discussion? Okay. Senator Ross.
I've been advised that the fiscal notes are not updated through the process, but that's been taken out.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, are you ready for the question? All those in favor of Senator Ross's motion, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation on House Bill 52, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
House Bill 52 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, Mr. Vice President.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Filling in for the Majority Floor Leader, I think I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Mr. President.
I give you some more files to read in. I did it in there. Yeah, okay. If the read clerk will please read in the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. President, your Committee of the Whole, having had under considerations bills on general file, begs leave to report as follows. House Bill 31 engrossed, laid back. House Bill 32 engrossed, do pass, amended. House Bill 28 engrossed, do pass, amended. House Bill 2 engrossed, do pass. House Bill 52 engrossed, do pass, amended. Senator Hoster, Chairman.
I think there's an issue. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to think this through. We have a bill laid back in Committee of the Whole. We have not worked that bill and re-referred to it, which means it's still on the table in Committee of the Whole.
Which bill are you referring to?
31. And it needs a re-referral, but if we accept this report, are we killing it in Committee of the Whole by leaving it on the table? And I'm not sure. I haven't looked at the rule, but it just came to mind, and I want to make sure that we're not killing that bill by taking an action on it right now. Typically, I mean, that's the equivalent of indefinitely postponed to some degree. We do not want to close Committee of the Whole. We want to beg leave to rise and sit again. We work the bill, and then we come back.
What if it needs to be re-referred?
That's fine. We can do that. We just have to get it out of this committee before we report.
No,
I know. But if we accept this report,
I was not on the floor when this happened, so
I apologize. I was not on the floor when it was laid back. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I think the bill was laid back, so it's still on the general file. I think the issue is a re-referral from an appropriation, I believe. And I think it would be in order, once we adopt the Committee of the Whole report, for the substitute for the chairman to move that it be re-referred to committee number two. And I think because it is laid back, it is still in the general file, and that would be in perfect order to do that.
That would be the chair's ruling. Thank you, Senator Scott. So the committee, the report was, whole report was read. Senator Hastert.
Mr. President, I move for adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No, that report has been adopted. Do we have a motion with respect to that bill? Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I move that House Bill 31, without objection, be re-referred to Committee Number 2. Sponsored by the Joint Corporations Committee, Uniform Security Act, be re-referred to Committee Number 2.
Without objection, House Bill 31 is re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Was that the bill that was laid back? I was okay. We're good to go. All right. Would you do me a favor? Actually, I need to go get my all my budget stuff. I need. You got all my budget stuff? No, I'll do this. Okay. We have House bills on first reading. House Bill 36, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 36, Livestock Dealers, sponsored by Representative McKim, passed the House, ayes 56, noes 1, excused 3.
House Bill 36 is referred to Committee Number 5, Ag. House Bill 41, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 41, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, sponsored by the Water Committee, passed the House, ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 41 is assigned to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. House Bill 66, first reading of the bill.
House Bill 66, Retired Firefighters License Plates Renewal, sponsored by Representative Blake, passed the House, ayes 57, noes 3.
House Bill 66 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill Number 17, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 17, Pesticide Applicator Certification Program Funding, sponsored by Representative Eklund, passed the House, ayes 55, no 5.
House Bill Number 117 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture. All right. I'm the chairman. Reading clerk, we're now at that order of business of considering House Bill number 1 under Joint Rule 14-1. If the reading clerk would please read in the bill.
Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, reviewed House Bill number 1 pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1E. The following lists are provided. Dispensing with further reading, Senator Ross, Chairman.
In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1F, House Bill 1 is referred directly to third reading. Senator Ross, for an explanation.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, you should have on your desk several different documents. First, you'll have the adopted amendments as they came from the House, and we're going to be going over the amendments today that the House did that were either identical, related, or not identical. So you have the actual language. We will not be working from that, but you have that. And then you also have the Standing Committee report, which is all of the amendments. So if you wanted to see what they were, and whether or not they were adopted or amended, you can look at that. But what we're going to be doing today is going over those, and you should have an 8.5 by 14 sheet that is entitled House Position Ordered by Identical, Related, and Non-Identical Amendments. So what we're doing is just letting you know what the House did in comparison to us in some respects, because we're not actually going over all of our Senate amendments. I'm going to start by talking to you a little bit about the goldenrod, if you have that in front of you. Now, the goldenrod really is as of yesterday. And I just want to point out some of the differences that you'll find on the goldenrod, and you'll also note that when I get to it, that when an amendment passes, and if the amendment's in error, it still reflects on the goldenrod, and I'll show you where that is. So the first thing you want to see on page 1, under expenditures, is you're going to see the second to last line under expenditures, you'll see budget bill BRA transfers to the LSRA. And you'll see the difference between the House versus the Senate. These are the budget balancers. These are an attempt so that we have some room to balance the budget. And I'll tell you that we're not very far apart. But you'll see that the House did a budget balancer transfer of $35 million. And we did a budget balancer of $40 million in that line. If you go down to the bottom of the page, though, you can really see kind of the differences. The first thing that you'll see that is different under the LSRA is House Bill 51. That's local government distributions. The House added back in the JAC position and the governor's rec was $90 million. The House added back in $115 million, and so you see that figure of 105 there. It shows up on both lines because that's what's been passed so far. It'll be up to the Senate to decide how we feel about that. But right now, it shows the 105. In addition, we'll talk about it when we get later in the goldenrod. With that, there was the Madden Amendment that
was also then handled also by the chairman of appropriations that changed that. I don't want to talk about that right now. House Bill 52, which we just passed, you'll see the $80 million placeholder for school facilities appropriations. Of course, that's not effective until the second year. So the appropriation difference really is $824,166. The Senate was less, the House was higher. But then you'll see that the transfer below that, which was done by the Senate, which is $5 million more than the House. If you turn, so I'm only pointing out the differences. If you turn to page 3, under the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account, you're going to see that 105 under Appropriations House Bill 51. And then if you go to page 4, if you look at under School Foundation Program Estimate Adjustment, and if you took into account the External Cost Adjustment, and you added those if you did the math on it, it really works out. There was an error there. It's profiled at $3,175,66. I mean, that's the difference. But that was an error. The actual difference with what the House did when they took transportation down and funded it at 86%, the real difference is $7,344, $7.3 million. So that'll be corrected as we go through, but it's actually a difference of $7.3 million. And then on school capital construction, you'll see a difference on the estimated revenue. You'll see a difference of $147,992,000 in the House versus our $144,592. The way in which this happens, the House actually captured this extra. I gotta remember if it's was it Capcom? I mean, the transportation dollars. Excuse me, and they shifted it over directly to school Capcom. There's about $3 million there, approximately. $3.4 coal lease bonus. They just captured that because it's the way in which the coal lease comes in. When it starts off, depending on the year, 2017, there's X amount of dollars that goes to community colleges, highways, and local government, CapCon. They just captured all that because in 2018, it'd start the list over again. They just captured that and put it all into CapCon. So I hope I've explained that right. There really is no other changes on pages 5 or 6, and that'll kind of bring you up to date as to where we are on the goldenrod. If there's any questions, I'll try to answer them to the best of my ability. Otherwise, we're going to walk through the cheat sheet, so to speak. And page 1, Mr. President, will be handled by Senator Hastert, and I yield to Senator Hastert.
Senator Hastert.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. On the cheat sheet, you're going to see the first 4 are identical amendments, and as the chairman pointed out, on identical amendments, these are ones that both chambers had the same language and did this exact same thing. So on House Second Amendment 3, which is the Walters Amendment, was the same as our Landon Amendment, which removes the $73,125 general fund defunding the Lifesaver program. The next one was second reading amendment number 5, and it's the point 2 would be a division, would be from the Madden Amendment, which is similar to the third reading amendment number 3, which was the first division of the Von Flattern amendment that removes the $4,427,000 of the general fund defunding the tax refund to the elderly and disabled program. The next one is the Steinmetz Amendment, the second reading 20, which is the same as the Dockstetter Amendment for education, and that decreases the $134,000 federal funds and adds the footnote to specify that no funds from this appropriation shall be spent for the purpose of a youth risk behavior survey. And so those are identical. And the last identical was the Lindholm Boner Amendment, removes $200,000 general fund from the Business Council to the Department of Ag and adds a footnote to indicate funds will be spent for agricultural education for adults. Then, Mr. President, members of the Senate, you got that next section, which is rather large. And what you're going to see is on the top part of that, with the Harvey and Scott's amendment, you're going to see that whole next series that they made the amendments and then other actions deleted them. So the first, about the first six of them are further amended and deleted. So the top section, as we work through that, you know, those were worked and then deleted by further action. And then you get down to the Larson third reading amendment number 8, which is similar to the Bebout amendment, which puts in $750,000 general fund and has the matching of $750,000 federal funds for service reimbursements after Medicaid waiver rate rebase. And then we have the Meyer Amendment for the Governor's Office Administration, which deletes the $1 million, amends the Senate second reading number 1, and decreases the amount of general fund transferred by $1 million from the Department of Health to the Office of the Governor for the Developmental Disability Provider Bankruptcy Contingency Account. And then the finally on the action there is where this is similar to the Larson Amendment is the Nicholas Amendment. The Nicholas Amendment, we added $1.4 million, but what we did is we used $1 million from existing funds. And so that's where you see the differences there. And then the next section, we have the Northrop Amendment, which is the similar to the Cole Amendment. And my understanding, it's literally virtually the same, just a few words difference and positioning differences is all there really is. So they're virtually identical. And then the Harvey Amendment and Scott, which actually go on to the next page. So I'm just going to take that real quick if I can. And I think that the difference is the Harvey Amendment puts it into Section 300, which is, statutory, puts it kind of in a statutory process, and the Scott Amendment footnotes it, so it actually goes in, implements it, the process quicker than what, than the Harvey Amendment did. So, and then that one is there, inserts the new section, 327 described the next developmental disabilities waiver provider rate rebasing process during the biennium, so and then require rebasing to occur on or before June 30th, 2017, using market-based wages and report to the Joint Labor and Social Services Committee. That's what the Scott Amendment does. So really, the main difference there is one's in Section 300, one's in a footnote. Our provision would enable it to move on a little quicker, and from there, I will yield to Senator Perkins.
or if there's any questions.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the body, what we've got on finishing out the rest of page two, what you see there is a series of, in that next block, where you see the Harshman amendments, and then there's a couple of Ross amendments. Those were, of course, the respective chairman of their respective appropriations committees and co-chairman of the joint committee. And that was a series of technical corrections that were put in, mostly proposed by staff. If you look, some of those you may remember, adding a repeal in the event of Senate File 101 was enacted. There was an increase of full-time position due to a drafting error, and you can read down through there, and those were just a series of technical corrections. If you go down next, we have the Lindholm and Driscoll amendments in the next box. If you look at those had to do with with money out of the fire suppression accounts. The House was more penurious than the Senate in that regard. And then also, of course, ours had the Driscoll amendment specifically had the footnote language to specify that some funds would not be transferred until after September 1 upon the governor's approval, which the intent of that was to make sure that it happened after fire season. So my recollection is that our provided for $2 million, the House provided for $1 million, and then the Senate, the Driscoll amendment also provided for to clarify that it was not till after fire season. And you've got the next one, House Amendment 3060, which these are the budget balancer transfers. This is the one we talked about where we've bracketed amount that's roughly $35 million versus our $40 million bracketing amount to make sure that where we finish up needs to be somewhere in between. So those are just those are our numbers to try and bracket where we will end up, assuming that the worst case scenario is all. We spend every spending increase was adopted with no spending decreases, or vice versa, every spending decrease was adopted with no compromise on other increases. So then we get down to the non-identical. So these are ones for which there are no corresponding amendment on the opposite side. We have the first one, the Madden Amendment. What that did is we had increased the $2.1 million to the general fund within the Department of Revenue, and that transferred, if you remember that amendment in this side was divided over there. It wasn't divided, and so this took it out of the health care amendment and put it back over to the Department of Revenue program. That's that difference. The Throne Amendment provided restored an additional $100,000 to the Conservation Corps program. Then you have looked down at the Harshman amendments in the next two boxes were... The first one had to do with $750,000 with respect to school capital construction funds, and about their the first one had an immediate reversion for the school facilities department, and that would move the idea on this was to move more quickly on the statewide assessment for those schools. Then again, they came back later in third reading, and that one specifies the allocation and actually caused that to be reverted from the first one's just going to be reversions from the existing or the current biennium. The other one went back and actually captured the $750,000 from a reversion from a 2010 school CapCon construction project that is completed and had funds revert. That's the difference there. Then you look at the Miller Amendments 2028. And these are a couple of related ones. There's apparently a large international mineral discoveries, exploration, and development conference. And what this is doing is trying to get these two amendments. We're trying to get a person, one from the Geological Survey and one from the Wyoming Business Council, to attend and promote Wyoming resources. That's what those amendments do. And that completes, I think, pages two. And off to the next one, we'll hand off to Senator Burns, if you would, Mr. President.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I'd like to remind the body before we get into this that these are the amendments that the House passed. These are not the actions of the JAC. So no matter how misguided or mistaken or ill-conceived or bad intent that might be involved, it's not us. Now, moving on. House third reading amendment number 7 dealt with the state airplane. Currently, the Department of Transportation charges the various agencies and elected officials $1,400 per hour to run the state plane, to ride on the state plane to go someplace. The actual cost is $3,300 an hour. It might be $39. I was told $33 today, and I remembered $39. Anyway, this amendment required the other four state elected officials beside the governor to pay the full amount per hour for the use of the plane. House Second Reading Amendment Number 8 decreased the senior dental care program by $724,000. House Second Reading Amendment 29, Third Reading Amendment Number 10, and Third Reading Amendment Number 11 all dealt with the with the multi-payer claims database, which is a project to actually go out and find out exactly how much a lot of these procedures cost at the various providers. And so through a series of amendments, it authorized an expenditure of up to $640,000, and then the amendments winded it down to $440,000, which is where it is at from the House version of the bill. House Second Reading Amendment 42 dealt with health care financing, and it added a footnote to exempt reimbursement reduction to Medicaid providers where these providers' Medicaid funds made up more than 50% of the revenues. In other words, these are generally the poorer providers, so any reduction in Medicare reimbursement would not affect them. Third Reading Amendment 54.01, which means that it was the amendment was divided and this portion passed. And this footnote required the Department of Health to pay to study payment and billing options for involuntarily hospitalized patients. This deals with Title 25. And then they were to report back to the Joint Labor, Health, and Social Services Committee by October 2016, and the Department of Health was to pay for that study. Second Reading Amendment Number 10 dealt with DFS. It adds a footnote to allow the use of $650,000 in temporary assistance for needy families, or the TANF funds, to continue high-quality early education grant program. These are federal funds we're dealing with. Second Reading Amendment Number 30, again, Family Services. It adds a footnote to require the department to pay residential treatment facility per diem reimbursements by rules and regulations, but not require a contract. House Second Reading Amendment 32, again, dealt with workforce services. This decreased the amount of the funds for the Hathaway Longitudinal and School Foundation Program wage studies by $300,000. And then the second half deletes footnote one, which was the language that insisted, that stated it was a one-time study. So it basically got rid of it. Second Reading Amendment 12, Third Reading Amendment 15, and Third Reading Amendment 56 dealt with state lands. The first added a footnote to require use of $712,500 to the agency's budget for control eradication of noxious weeds and pests. The then Amendment 3, Third Reading 15, amended it by increasing the money, or to basically required the money to come from general funds. And then the third amendment, Third Reading Amendment 56, reappropriated $250,000 from the Colorado litigation carryover to be applied to this $712,000. So the amount of general fund money would be reduced by that much. House Second Reading Amendment 16 is the University of Wyoming. All that does is add the Joint Minerals Committee to the reporting requirements. Third Reading Amendment 18, it increased the general fund by $387,312 to the Casper College Master's Program in Counseling. Second Reading Amendment 49, University of Wyoming, this dealt with the research plane of the university. and stated that there had to be a financial plan in place for the loan servicing and reserve fund distributions. Required the report to the Joint Appropriations Committee within 30 days of the loan execution. Third reading amendment 21 dealt with family practice residencies at UW under medical education, and all that does is add the Joint Labor Committee to the as a receiver of the report in addition to the Joint Appropriations Committee. And with that, Mr. President, I would turn you over to my mic's back on. The good senator from Campbell County.
We want to do questions now, Mr. President.
Sure, you can do it. Go ahead, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was just curious on the Larson-Brown amendments related to pest control. The $250,000 reappropriation, the way I'm looking at this and reading it, it seems like that's in addition to the $712,500. I want to know if that's accurate. I don't see it coming into or out of general funds, so my assumption is it's just going from this existing account into weed and pest, but since there's no offset, I'm assuming that that would be an additional $250,000. Is that accurate?
Senator Burns or Ross? Either one.
Mr. President, I was given to understand that this would replace some of the general fund money, but reading it, I agree with the good senator from Laramie that it looks like, upon reading it, looks like it's adding. Now, keep in mind that these summary sheets are not the official document, but it does look like it is added on.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. President.
Senator Ross.
Mr. President, it's actually a $250,000 reduction if the funds are available.
Senator Von Platern.
Different question, Mr. President. That top footnote on that third page, add a footnote to require the division to charge the full hourly cost to statewide elected offices other than the governor. Is that the agencies, too, or just did they just mean the four electeds?
Mr. President.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. It means what it says. Just the four elected officials. It does not include the agencies.
Senator Wasserberger. Senator Landon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a point of clarification. The reference to the Casper College program on that third from the bottom figure to pay for the master's degree program, Mr. President, that is a University of Wyoming program. Wanted to clarify that because that college up in our part of the world does have relationships with about six or eight different universities from around the West, but that is a University of Wyoming program.
That's a separate discussion. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Back on the plane discussion, the legislature from time to time uses the state aircraft, and the way this is written, then I would assume that we would get the better old rate instead of the new penalty rate. Okay. Thank you, Mr.
President. Senator Wasserberger.
Mr. President, if you're ready for page four, we will move on.
Okay.
Seeing no more questions, Mr. President, on page four, there was a third reading amendment by Chairman Northrup, and in that it was a modification of the penny plan to 1% in fiscal year 2017 and 1% in fiscal year 2018, and increases the school foundation guarantee by $12.9 million. And then the next amendment modified the penny plan for school districts to be 1% for fiscal year 2017, 1% for fiscal year 2018, and increased about 500,000 school foundation funds. These were both deleted. One part of that was left, modifies footnote number one to adjust language related to ECA amounts for 2017 fiscal year, 1% reduction through the penny plan, and fiscal year 2018, 1% reduction through the penny plan. And then they left that, but then they deleted the next piece. Includes a footnote for the Joint Appropriation and Joint Appropriations Committees to review the model and recommend ECA amounts for fiscal year 2018. And if you know your school law, you know that that's required by statute to do that. So we do have it, but that was actually deleted. And then the final amendment was... sustains the 2016 ECA for fiscal year 2017-2018 and increases $4,598,332 in special revenue, modifies footnote number one accordingly. And essentially what they did was they, instead of cutting ECA, they moved over to the transportation, 100% transportation, and took it down to 86%, and it was a loss for 3 years, a third, a third, a third. Okay, and so that's kind of where they're at now. The next amendment, that was the Harshman Amendment. The next amendment, second reading, number 21, is the Lindholm Amendment. And that amendment decreases funding, general fund dollars, by $212,519. It eliminates one full-time position and adds a footnote to prevent general funds from being expended on anti-bullying efforts. And I believe that we also passed a statute several years ago requiring school districts to have an anti-bullying program. So the next amendment is second reading amendment number 22. This one, it's our Dave version, and essentially increases general fund dollars by $5,000, and adds a footnote to allocate that $5,000 to cover assessment to the Interstate Commission on Educational Opportunity for Military Children, pursuant to the statute. Next amendment on third reading, amendment number 44, the Piperine Amendment, decreases general fund dollars by $50,357 and adds a footnote to specify that the K-3 reading assessment program shall not exceed $20,000 for travel expenses in-state and out-of-state. Next amendment is amendment, third reading amendment number 24, the Burkhart Amendment, reappropriates remaining general fund dollars up to $60,000 from the 2014 budget bill to the Geologic Survey for continued research on rare earth elements. Next amendment was third reading amendment number 42, which is the Yagi Amendment. Salary increase freeze adds a new section 327 to prohibit any salary increases during the biennium, excluding benefits and longevity pay for employees that earn $80,000 per year or more, excludes UW. What's that? Mine's 80,000.
No, that was an error.
Oh,
so that needs
that's 100,000. There we go. We're good to go. Excludes UW community colleges and K-12 school districts. And finally, the last amendment, second reading amendment number 48, the Harshman Amendment, adds a new section 327 to require any remaining federally sequestered co-lease bonus payments to be deposited into the school capital construction account once received by the state during fiscal year 2018. And we're anticipating about $3.4 million to go to school capital construction. So those are the last page. If there's any questions, I'll try and answer them.
Senator Massey, or Meyer.
Okay.
Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President.
A long time ago.
The question I have, Mr. President, is the transportation program is funded at 100%.
What page?
This is page 4, the 3059 Harshman Amendment. And as I read it here, you're going to cap transportation reimbursements at 86% of the average of the prior three-year amounts. So what I'm assuming is that you add those three up, you divide by three, and you take that times 86%. And how are you going to tell the school districts who basically have always gotten 100% of anything they wanted in buying buses, how do you regulate that down to 86%? I think that's going to be an interesting conversation, Mr. President.
think you get a really good metal saw. Senator Wasserberg.
Oh, Mr. President, I have a great deal of difficulty figuring out what the House did, but I would say the idea that we're going to change the school funding formula on third reading of an appropriations bill is not wise. And so after the entire summer of recalibration and making that decision, we suddenly do that. And so I don't know. I do know that our position is the JAC position, which is the penny plan, 1% the first year, 2% the second year.
Senator Burns and then Ross.
Mr. President, one thing to point out that was pointed out to us on that particular amendment is this is the three-year average. This is static, the last 3 years. This is not a three-year rolling average.
Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to point out, this is where there's language error, and so the language controls. But the reality is there's about $7.3 million difference between that and the Senate, not as it's reflected here.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm trying to understand what the results of the deletions, and I'm going to the education amendments. I see sustains the 2016 ECA for 2017-18 and increases $4.6 million, modifies footnote 1 accordingly, which suggests a full restoration of the ECA as I read it. But then I see another fund's budget of only 3.175. So I'm failing to see the budget lines that I need and understand it. Yeah, why don't I see something like $45 million there somehow reflected? And then I'm also curious, when I only see $1.42 million for a substantial change in budget, which is the 86% of the average of the prior three-year amounts, which in my head comes to more like $15 to $20 million a year when I do that math. So I'm missing the accounting here, and I feel like we kind of need to see those numbers.
Mr. President,
Senator Ross,
what you see here is a reflection of the difference of the transportation savings versus the ECA, which was funded at the full ECA, and then of course they bring in this transportation reduction, and so what you're seeing is that difference. And what I've tried to explain to you also is that that's an error. It's actually $7.3 million, and but because the way in which the amendment was adopted and the way it is, that's the way you see it. But actually, it's $7.3 million difference.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. I appreciate that explanation. I do think so. It's offsetting gains and losses that lead to these numbers, and that helps to clarify. I think it would be valuable to better understand. I think we all know the $45 million. So the 86%. If we could get a value for that, does that mean it's $38 million in value? Okay, that's what we're getting. So we've got about a 45 and about a $38 million, Mr. President. When we're looking at this 86%, and this isn't necessarily a question, but I think it speaks to one of the things we heard, is this has been discussed over previous years by Joint Education Committee and I know Joint Appropriations Committee. It will be interesting to hear the explanation of why all of the concerns we've had in the past on this point and implementing a cut to transportation was on third reading quickly overcome. So I don't know if you've had any preliminary discussions, but I'm curious about that.
Mr. President, just to also iterate that during school finance recalibration, our consultants did not change the model with regards to 100% funding for transportation. So that's just to bring you up to date. But it is complicated. It's something that we're going to have to work out in conference committee, but that's what they did to try to find, I guess, some middle ground between
a full ECA, and then they kind of jury-rigged the deal with the transportation costs. That's the best way I can put it.
My understanding is that what they thought they were doing and what profiled out is not the same. Senator Coe.
Hey, Mr. President, also just for the body's information, I think it was some 4 or 5 years ago we looked at transportation and actually studied it extensively in the interim, and the outcome was basically, even though we're reimbursing it 100%, we're right in the ballpark where we should be, you know, compared to other states and other things that are going on. So I just bring that for the body's edification. I think it's, you know, I have questions about going into the transportation reimbursement, 86%, whether or not that's even constitutional. I have questions about the equity factor. I got questions particularly about the really small districts that really get hammered by this. I mean, it really hammers the small districts, so I just pass that on for the benefit of the conference committee.
Further discussions? If not, you've heard the explanation of the differences. The bill now goes to conference committee between the two houses. The Senate conferees are Ross, chairman, Perkins, Burns, Wasserberger, and Hastert. Order of business of messages from the House.
From the House of Representatives, February 23, 2016, third reading failed. Mr. President, the bill listed below failed to pass the House third reading. House Joint Resolution Number 3, Balanced Budget Amendment Resolution, ayes 28, noes 31, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk, signed. Third reading passed, February 23, 2016. Mr. President, the bill listed below passed the House on third reading. House Bill Number 41, Omnibus Water Bill Construction, ayes 59, noes 1. Signed, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. The following bills are all third reading passed amended. House Bill Number 6, Return of Victims' Property Held as Evidence, ayes 58, noes 2. House Bill Number 19, Statewide Student Assessment, ayes 51, noes 9. House Bill Number 40, Operation of Watercraft Under Influence of Alcohol, ayes 42, noes 18. House Bill Number 42, Fuel Tax Revenue Restriction, ayes 59, noes 1. House Bill Number 49, Abandoned Vehicles 2, ayes 58, noes 2. House Bill Number 69, Unlawful Dissemination of an Intimate Image, ayes 32, noes 28. House Bill Number 86, Wyoming Repeal Gun-Free Zones Act, ayes 50, noes 10. House Bill Number 137, Controlled Substances Disposal, ayes 37, noes 22, excused 1. Signed, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Any other messages?
February 23, 2016, conferees appointed. Joint Conference Committee Number 1, Mr. President, the Speaker appointed House conferees to meet with a like committee, Number 1, from the Senate, on amendments to Senate File 1. The House conferees are Representative Harshman, Chairman, Representative Conley, Representative Greer, Representative Moniz, Representative Stubson. Signed, Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
Is that clear the desk? Mr. Vice President, that clears the desk.
Mr. President, I move that we stand adjourned until 10 a.m., Wednesday, February the 24th.
Messages. Senator Ross.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number two, Appropriations, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Catch the room, members, in Jonah S18 at 8, rather than our regular committee room, because that's the way the schedule works. The House has that at that time. We will take up the following bills: House Bill 20, State Purpose Investments Reporting; House Bill 21, State Purpose Investment Revisions; House Bill 51, Engrossed Local Government Distributions; House Bill 85, Medical Education Funding; House Bill 88, ETS, Zero-Based Budget Sunset; and if time allows, the referral of House Bill 31, Uniform Security Act Appropriations.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in our normal committee room. House Bill 60, Engrossed State Health Facility Emissions Statutory Compliance; House Bill 63, Healthcare Facility Receivership Act; House Bill 54, Treasury Offset Program Statutory Reference Amendments. Mr. President, we had posted three other bills, if introduced and re-referred, and they seem to be caught in the paper factory and were not introduced and re-referred here, and therefore will not be heard.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, your committee number 8, Transportation, will meet upon Wednesday adjournment in Jonah Room S-27 to hear House Bill 66, Retired Firefighters License Plate Renewal, and if introduced and re-referred, House Bill 49, Abandoned Vehicles 2, House Bill 39, Enhanced Speeding Fines; House Bill 40, Operation of Watercraft Under the Influence.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands, will meet on Thursday upon adjournment in, I don't remember the number, but I think it's 27. Jonah 27, to hear House Bill 36, Livestock Dealers; House Bill 41, Omnibus Water Bill Construction; and House Bill 117, Pesticide Applicator Certification Program Funding.
Any further announcements? You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall stand adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, February 24th.